From NPR News in Washington, I'm Renita Jablonski. The government's point man on the oil disaster in the Gulf of Mexico says seepage was detected today on the ocean floor at a distance from BP's damaged well. It's not clear whether it's related to the new containment cap BP's been testing the last 3 days. Eileen Fleming of member station WWNO reports the next move depends on the possibility of any other leaks.
BP spokesman Doug Suttle says pressure on the containment cap is lower than hoped, but high enough to indicate the well is intact.
No one associated with this whole activity, whether you're with BP or any of the government groups or anyone who lives along the Gulf Coast, wants to see any more oil flow into the Gulf of Mexico. We're hopeful that if the encouraging signs continue, we'll be able to continue the integrity test all the way to the point that we get the well killed.
If problems develop, the cap would be reopened to relieve pressure. Oil would gush into the water for up to 3 days while containment vessels would be hooked up again. Officials say the containment cap that's been holding back oil since Thursday could be shut again if a hurricane develops. For NPR News, I'm Eileen Fleming in New Orleans.
Two suicide bombings have killed at least 45 people in Iraq today. NPR's Nishant Dahiya reports from Baghdad the biggest of the blasts killed 43 members of a government-backed Sunni paramilitary force.
More than 150 members of the Sons of Iraq movement were lined up to get paid near a military base on the outskirts of Baghdad when the explosion took place. The Sunni fighters were once allied with Al-Qaeda, but turned against the militant group in 2006. The support played an important role in ending the sectarian fighting in Iraq. The U.S. military paid them monthly salaries till last year when they were turned over to the Iraqi government. Some have since been absorbed into the security forces. Over the past few months, the Sons of Iraq have been increasingly targeted by militants and have complained that state support for them is evaporating. Attacks against the security forces and the Sons of Iraq are worrying because they come at a time when the number of U.S. troops in Iraq is dropping and Iraq's security forces are taking on greater responsibilities in the country. Nishant Dahiya, NPR News, Baghdad.
No visible sign of progress after a day of meetings in Cairo on the Middle East peace process. Egypt's president held separate talks with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas, and U.S. envoy George Mitchell. Abbas says he won't agree to direct talks with Netanyahu unless Israel agrees in principle to a Palestinian state based on the borders before the 1967 Six-Day War. Here's what Egypt's foreign minister Ahmed Abolgeit had to say in a news conference after being asked whether the gap between the two sides is still too wide.
No, I wouldn't say it is too wide, but we are still hopeful that we can bridge that gap, the gap between the needs of security for Israel and the borders for the Palestinians.
Direct talks are hoped by September. This is NPR. Media reports in India say a speeding express train collided with a stationary passenger train at a station in the eastern part of the country early Monday, and that dozens are believed to have been killed. The 18th International AIDS Conference is underway in Vienna. NPR's Brenda Wilson reports scientists, activists, and people living with HIV are attending the meeting.
Vienna is considered the gateway to Eastern Europe, which has one of the fastest-growing epidemics in the world. Human rights, the empowerment of women, and prevention of HIV are the key social issues on the international AIDS agenda. Attacks upon gays and other men who have sex with men, the denial of services to injection drug users, and restrictions on travel of people with HIV are viewed as contributing to the spread of HIV. A series of panels featuring international AIDS experts and government representatives will discuss these issues. The failure of wealthier countries to respond to gaps in treatment for people with HIV will round out the first sessions. The day is capped by a welcome from host country president Heinz Fischer and a message from singer Annie Lennox, who is scheduled to perform Tuesday night. Brenda Wilson, NPR News.
In golf, South African named Louis Oosthuizen is the winner of the British Open at St. Andrews. It's the first major championship for the 27-year-old.
To win an Open championship is special, but to win it here at St. Andrews is just, it's something you dream about.
Oosthuizen finished 16 shots under par, 7 in front of Lee Westwood. At the box office, it was sci-fi thriller Inception that ruled the day with $60 million this opening weekend. I'm Renita Jablonski, NPR News in Washington.